Hi, I'm Lauren Gilger, and this is the Friday Newscap podcast. Each Friday, we review the biggest stories of the week with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here is this week's episode.
Should the Supreme Court come down on the side that these folks should become Fed-only voters, we will advise voters appropriately, and the last day and moment to present proof of citizenship will be 7 p.m. on Election Day.
When we don't know whether or not they should be full ballot voters, and I don't believe that we should do this when we are 21 days away from the ballots going in the mail.
We believe it's a complete and total walk-off home run on behalf of voters who want to vote on Prop 140.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
You make every minute count, and you do more with a minute than any other group I know. So I am asking you to lesson plan this thing out.
All right. My guest this morning, Lorna Romero Ferguson with Elevate Strategies and former Democratic State Representative Reginald Boulding. Good morning to you both. Thanks for coming.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. So let's dive right into it. And the 100,000, that's a lot of voters whose registration is up in the air right now. It's just 6 weeks or so ahead of the election. Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer's office uncovered what they're calling like a glitch in the system that caused this issue. And it doesn't mean exactly that these voters won't be able to vote come November. Like at all, but we're kind of waiting to see what the state Supreme Court says here, whether or not they can vote in local and state elections or just on that kind of federal only ballot. I want to start with the kind of sheer timeline issue here, Lorna, and just talk about the stakes. Like 6 weeks and mail-in ballots are set to go out really soon. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, we're looking at mail-in ballots going out October 9th. You have overseas voters. I believe they're going out this weekend, maybe tomorrow.
Yep.
It just causes a lot of confusion. The timing is extremely unfortunate when you're looking at how competitive so many of these races are in Arizona. I mean, you look, Joe Biden won by 10,000 votes, right? Last election cycle. Everybody knows that the Trump-Harris matchup is going to be extremely close in Arizona. So having this question of what type of ballot these voters are going to get this close to the election and the confusion it's going to cause is not ideal for either party.
Yeah. Reginald, go ahead.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, right now, there's no reason to suspect that any of the, you know, 97,000, 100,000 voters are non-citizens. And, you know, the big takeaway here is that, you know, these voters, it will definitely play a particular role with the state legislature. So, you know, in the event that they're, you know, non-citizens, they'd be able to get a federal ballot. But if they, for some reason, that they're not able to get a full ballot, these state legislative races, which are expected to be very, very close this year, could have a significant impact on just who has power down at the legislature.
Right. So local races can be affected by what we saw like in the primary, like what, 45 votes or something, right?
Yeah.
So, Lorna, what races are you watching if, in fact, this does go that way and they can only vote on a federal ballot?
No, definitely. I mean, besides, you know, the Trump-Harris race, because obviously these are voters across the state. We're not just talking about Maricopa County. This is something that's impacting voters in every single county. But just looking at Maricopa County, as Reginald just mentioned, that's where most of the competitive legislative races are, right? And those are tight margins anyways, just because of the amount of the electorate in each of those legislative districts. And so when you're looking at, you know, J.D. Mesnard's race or some of the races in North Phoenix that will determine the makeup of the Arizona legislature, and these voters are only going to be able to get a federal-only ballot, not participate in those races, that changes the calculus for these, you know, these candidates in those races. And so as quickly as the courts can decide what is going to be the remedy for those folks, the better. But again, timing is not ideal for anyone.
Yeah, we're really up against it on timing. I want to talk about the political sort of strange bedfellows side of this story, right? Like, you've got Republicans now rallying around the Democratic Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes. He is calling for the state Supreme Court here here to rule that they can vote on a full ballot, that, like, as Reginald said, there's no reason to believe that they are not, you know, legal voters here. And they've voted in many elections before. There are legal arguments here, obviously, but there's also the fact that the majority of these 100,000 voters in the breakdown are Republicans, right, Lorna?
Yes, they are. And you saw the AZGOP come out quickly and agree with Secretary Fontes that these voters should not be impacted for this cycle and should be able to vote the full ballot, which is interesting because the Republican Party has been very critical of Maricopa County and some of these other recorders when it comes to proof of citizenship for voters and whatnot and what ballots they should get. And so, yes, a large percentage of them are Republican voters. Republicans know that these are going to be close races and they need every active and eligible voter possible. And then also because of the time frame, you know, do you really want to risk disenfranchising this many voters this close to the election mm-hmm. for something that was not an error of their part? Right. This is a system error.
Yeah.
And for them to find out a few weeks before the election that they cannot vote fully would be devastating.
So, as we said, Reginald, mostly Republican voters here, but plenty of Democratic voters as well. What's the calculation on the Democratic side?
Well, no, I mean, you know, we talk about strange bedfellows. It absolutely comes down to the political calculus. When you look at the most competitive districts that from a legislative standpoint, there are more Republican than Democratic voters that would be directly impacted and affected by this this unfortunate error that occurred. So I do believe what you're finding is that the GOP is saying, like, hey, if we want to still make sure that we win these races, that could be decided by 100, 200, 300 votes. We need to make sure that, you know, we ride this wave out, even if it means, you know, locking in arms with the Democratic Secretary of State Adrian Fontes.
At least for now.
At least for now.
For a few days.
You know,
for a few days.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say it is hypocrisy at its highest level. You know, we just got out of a court case in which you're talking about proof of citizenship, in which you literally had both the Speaker of the House and the Senate President, you know, arguing that proof of citizenship has to be, you know, established for these individuals here in Arizona to have the ability to vote. A full ballot, and you know, now the political calculus has changed, a little bit of a change in tune.
Yeah. You both mentioned legislative races and the impact, potential impact there. What about when it comes to propositions? There are a lot on the ballot and a lot of really consequential ones.
Yeah, no, that's another fair point, because, again, these are voters statewide that are impacted. And so statewide questions like these ballot propositions, which a number of them are going to are extremely controversial. Right. You're looking at the abortion measure. Now we have open primaries that looks like it's going to be on the ballot. Like mm-hmm. these are ones that are probably going to be very close and contentious from just down the ballot party makeup. And so, yeah, 100,000 voters, it makes a big difference in some of those.
Yeah. Are there races you're looking at there in terms of the propositions, Reginald?
Yeah. I mean, I do. I know we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the open primaries,
yes.
you know, proposition. But I mean, you know, as we mentioned, abortion, that proposition, you know, there's several up and down the ballot that can have direct impact and implications on policy here in Arizona. So, you know, for me, when I'm looking at the ballot, I don't necessarily support any of them outside of, you know, the abortion ballot initiative. I do think what you saw was the state legislature say, hey, we can't get these bills through the traditional process. The governor wouldn't sign them, so we're going to take it directly to the voters. And I do mm-hmm. think some of these bills may be a little outside of what Arizonans are asking for. But, you know, we're going to see.
Yeah. Let me ask you both lastly on this front about the sort of election denialism side of this, right, which this is kind of fueling again, you know, and fresh fuel for the fire. They found this problem because they were kind of cleaning the voter rolls and checking voter registration status of people. And they found someone who, in fact, was not a citizen. So does that make it a tough argument to make to disprove these elections conspiracy theorists?
You know, the election conspiracy theorists will take any random thing and run with it, right? And so that was a genuine concern of mine as soon as, you know, Stephen Richer and folks were making this public of what's going to be the reaction from these election deniers. And to see the AZGOP come out with their statement in support of, you know, wanting to remedy this after the fact and agreeing with Secretary Fontes, that kind of curbed some of it locally. But when you're going to continue to see that chatter, right? And I think the longer term issue is what some of these folks have already been clinching to is this idea has not been proven that illegals are voting in Arizona, right? Yeah. Non-citizens are voting and they're stealing the elections and Democrats are pushing this, right? And so it feeds into that narrative a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I think the bigger concern is when the election doesn't turn out the way somebody wants, then pointing back to this as one of the issues.
Are you predicting that? Yeah.
I mean, look, let's say it. I mean, this is a PR nightmare for elections in Arizona. I mean, how does this happen at this point in time? You know, so much at stake. It's just not a good look for elections in Arizona. With that said, you know, I've already seen some national news outlets say, you know, this is the reason why Trump wasn't able to win Arizona back in 2020. And I would, you know, caution folks who actually aren't familiar with the Arizona, you know, election system to pause before they make those statements, because this would have not affected the 2020 mm-hmm. outcomes at all. Again, these individuals would have still been able to vote in the federal election. So I do think that this was caught. I think, you know, Congressman Greg Stanton's statement was solid. I mean, he asked, you know, Secretary Mayorkas to do whatever he can to help expedite proof of citizenship for these individuals. And I mean, you would think that we'd be able to do this for 100,000 folks, you know, to figure out whether or not they have, you know, citizenship and get this done.
I want to move on and talk about a decision in the case around the Make Elections Fair initiative that would create an open primary system, essentially, in the Arizona. A judge ruled yesterday it will be on the ballot. Of course, this could change pending appeals. But this latest challenge was about kind of the number of signatures, right? Like, if they turned in enough signatures to get on the ballot, and the judge basically threw it out and said they didn't get, even if they didn't get enough signatures to get on the ballot, the challengers didn't prove their argument in time. Ballots are already being printed. Reginald, I want to start with you here. This initiative has gotten, it seems, more pushback in court and maybe elsewhere than any other measure this year. And there are a whole lot of them, as we discussed earlier. Tell us why. Why do you think this is getting so much pushback?
Well, when you look at the ballot this year, I would arguably say this is probably the most important decision that voters will make throughout the entire ballot here with the state and stakes of Arizona. You know, the outcome of this open primaries decision will have long-lasting impacts for the next, you know, two decades, I would predict. So what's happening right now is you had individuals who signed the petition multiple times. Those signatures were counted. You know, the judge, again, said, you know, the challenge was too late, but I think that sets a bad precedent. You know, if you have a ballot initiative that doesn't have, you know, the signatures, if they still are able to go to voters, that just sets a bad precedent when it's just so hard to overturn propositions. I don't believe that this is going to do what individuals hope it's intended to do, which is to make the legislature more moderate. You know, what you're going to actually see is incumbents are going to actually probably have much more of an opportunity to win elections now. Because they're going to have name ID, they'll have fundraising capacity, as they'll be reaching out to a broader number of individuals initially and new challengers. If they don't have significant resources, it's just going to be so much more harder for them to communicate with voters. If you were targeting 10,000 voters, if you were a Republican or Democratic candidate, now you're going to be targeting 50 or 60,000 voters, and you may not have the resources to actually compete, which I think it will lead to more, you know, outside money, I think, determining whether or not who's going to be in these individual seats.
Lorna, what's your take here? Because proponents do say that, like, the argument is this will kind of get rid of the extremes in politics, which we've seen a lot of late. If you don't have to win a primary, the person in the middle who kind of represents the most Arizonans might win. Do you think that's what would happen?
You know, and I think in some areas of the state, potentially, right? I understand the larger concern about that either Democrat or Republican primaries have a tendency to yield the extremes on either side, right? Mm-hmm. And that independents aren't engaging as much as they can in a primary because obviously they have to take that extra step of requesting either a Democrat or Republican ballot, right? So creating the system where any voter can participate and all of the candidates are on one ballot, it makes sense in theory, right? Especially when right now the majority of the races in the state are determined in the primary, which has a low percentage turnout. So I understand the concerns of the proponents, right? But the reason why they're still in litigation right now is they're getting attacked by the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. They don't want the current system to go away. They want to maintain their primary system. And so, I mean, is it worth looking at? Sure. Do I think that the broader electorate thinks this is a top concern right now? I'm not sure. I'm not convinced of it. And right now, the proponents of the measure have been at a disadvantage because of all the lawsuits.
Right.
They haven't been able to you know, have an active campaign as of date, right? And they're still waiting to see, you know, if this is going to be appealed and what the final decision is going to be with early ballots going out in 2 weeks. And yeah. So there has been a significant disadvantage from that standpoint. But I think it's worth the conversation of what do Arizona voters want when it comes to the primary election system here.
Do you think most voters have thought about that, Reginald?
I think voters have no clue that this, you know, they have no clue that what impact that this is going to have. I don't even think, you know, not even talking about voters, I don't even think fully elected really truly understand like the implications that this is going to have. And, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at some places around the country, you know, you have some people who love it, some people who absolutely hate it. And I think here in Arizona, you know, we independent voters do currently have an opportunity to weigh in primaries. You know, independent voters choose whether or not they want to. And they actually have ultimate flexibility right now. And if they want to weigh in a Democratic primary, they can. If they want to weigh in a Republican primary, they can. That's full flexibility. But I do think that if this thing does stay on, which it appears that it will, I think it probably will pass, and I think that, you know, the fallout from that could be enormous.
That's really interesting. Lorna, last question here. Do you think it would pass, too? I mean, like, it sounds like you think there's a big education campaign that has to be done here first.
Yes. I mean, you're significantly changing how primary elections are run in the state. I agree. I don't think this is an issue that's top of mind for voters, so I think when they see it, they're probably going to be a little confused by it. It requires a lot of explaining from the proponent standpoint, right? And again, the time frame in which they're facing in order to launch a statewide campaign of significance is a little daunting. And so I'm not sure that voters are going to, one, understand it, and two, feel so compelled to support it, mm-hmm. especially when they're looking at so many propositions on the ballot year and such a long ballot, right? There's going to be voter fatigue, in all honesty. And I think every single campaign in the state is worried about that, especially where their question or issue or even their own race is going to be placed on the ballot. So that's something to take into consideration as well, just the length and the number of issues voters are going to have to, you know, vote on.
How long before they give up? All right. I want to spend some time this morning talking about immigration and the rhetoric around it this election cycle. We all heard former President Trump's comments at the presidential debate last week kind of amplifying these false claims that Haitian immigrants are eating people's pets in Springfield, Ohio. But I think it's continued to ramp up from there. Like, we're hearing a lot of, you know, claims about immigrants ruining the country, about committing crimes. The data doesn't really bear that out. I'm curious from like a political perspective, Lorna, like, do you think that that works? Like, is that kind of rhetoric going to get anywhere, especially in a state like Arizona where there are a lot of immigrants?
So immigration, border security is always a top three issue in Arizona, right? Depending on the election cycle, you know, it ebbs and flows between 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. So it's top of mind for voters, especially Republican voters in the state or independents that lean Republican. Republicans know that this is the Achilles heel for the Harris campaign, right? This is one opportunity for them to really hone in on the failures of the Biden-Harris administration when it comes to border security. Where Republicans go too far is this anti-immigrant rhetoric that we've been hearing now, and these false claims of immigrants in Ohio doing this, that, and the other. So there's a big difference between talking about border security and making sure that illegal drugs and criminal activity are not coming across the border versus going after and attacking individuals that are just trying to come to this country to have a better life, right? Mm-hmm. From, you know, a refugee asylum standpoint. And so that's where if Republicans could just focus on the lack of security at the border, that's a winning issue for them. As soon as they start going into these far extreme conspiracy theories, that's when they start losing people, even some folks in their own party.
That's interesting. Reginald, I want to ask you about that exactly, that kind of attempt at a separation, I think from both sides, between immigration policy and border security, right? Do you think that the Harris-Walz campaign in particular is having any success trying to make that separation right now?
Well, this is probably the most frustrating thing that I would probably say if you're, you know, looking at federal politics today, is that, you know, I think the Harris-Walz campaign, they're consistently being asked about policy, and the Trump campaign is not. I mean, when you talk about fixing the immigration issues here, there are no, you know, clear thought out solutions that we're hearing from Donald Trump. There was a policy that was put in place that was supported by during the Biden administration, supported by Kamala Harris, that would have created the strongest border policy bill that we've seen in decades. And Donald Trump and fellow, you know, Republicans chose not to support it. So since they can't win on this policy argument, they have decided to actually change the narrative to this us versus them. And them is, you know, immigrants, they're rapists, they're murderers, they're eating dogs, they're eating cats. They're not like us. So this us versus them rhetoric is in the absence of actually clear-cut policy. Hmm. You know, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, when Donald Trump was running, what we were hearing was Mexico was going to pay for the wall. That never happened, you know, or we're just going to kick them out. That's not a clear, coherent policy. So in the absence of policy, you create this us versus them narrative to try to distract people. And I think that's the most frustrating thing. Immigration's an issue, but let's talk about policy to fix it.
That's interesting. Lorna, I want to ask you about this because it's a little more complicated, I think, in a place like Arizona, because the Latino vote is not as clear cut as mm-hmm. people have thought it was for a very long time. And I think that's becoming very clear. Like, we're wrong, I think, if we assume that every Latino voter is going to vote for a pro-immigrant kind of stance, mm-hmm. right? Talk about that here and your take on that and the way the Republican Party could be taking advantage of that.
Yeah, and you've seen this the past few election cycles that the Republican Party has made some significant inroads when it comes to the Latino community here in Arizona and pulling away some of those voters. And key issue is border security, right? And when you look at some of the polling, some Latino voters believe that Republican candidates would be stronger when it comes to border security. But like we were talking about, bifurcating the issue, but they want more reasonable, sensible policies when it comes to immigration reform, right? Mm-hmm. And so that coupled with Republicans being able to talk about the economy and kitchen table issues that a number of people in the Latino community care about, they've been able to get some of those voters, right? And so I think this is, you know, we've seen this shift from probably the past, you know, 15, 20 years where it was assumed that for Latino voters, the issue was immigration, right? And that mm-hmm. was a winning issue for Democrats. And that's not the case anymore, right? There's a lot more nuance. There's a lot of diversity within the Latino community. And so now people are starting to realize they need to, you know, really diversify their messaging and their outreach. And you're seeing Republicans do that. Trump has been doing well with Latino men as a result of some of his policies and whatnot. And so I would imagine that he's going to continue to target those folks. But again, the risk is with this, you know, conspiracy theory, really high, you know, this type of rhetoric, losing some of those voters that are actually gettable.
Yeah. Okay. Last minute here. Last word to you, Reginald. How do you think that Prop 314, the so-called Secure the Border Act, will play into this here in Arizona?
Well, you know, again, there's been so much conversation around the border. I mean, you know, polling that I've seen has shown that, you know, it looks like it probably will pass. And I think that is unfortunate. I do think it was a mistake, even being on a ballot. I think it really, you know, went against what a single subject, you know, law essentially says here in Arizona. And with that said, I do think that, you know, there's going to be, you know, lawsuits and conversation regarding this. But I do think, you know, immigration is an issue. Coming up with, you know, strong, you know, border reform is important and it's top of mind for everyone. Mm-hmm. In addition to, you know, making sure that we have a strong economy, we're supporting folks, you know, and the social infrastructure to make sure people have what they need. But, you know, it's going to be tight.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it there. Reginald Boulding, former Democratic state representative, consultant of with Elevate Strategy, Lorna Romero Ferguson. Sorry, I'm stepping all
over. So many names. Sorry.
Thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the biggest stories of the week with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Lauren Gilger. Thanks for listening.